A confession sits at the heart of modern advertising. Nobody truly knows how it works. This isn't whispered in back rooms. It's the central argument of a book now required reading at Google and Facebook. What makes this revelation particularly unsettling is its source. Paul Feldwick isn't an academic critic lobbing grenades from the ivory tower. He spent 3 decades as a strategist at one of London's most celebrated agencies, crafting campaigns that actually worked. His insider status makes the indictment devastating. The profession that claims to understand human behavior may be the one most deluded by its own myths. We've spent over a century confidently prescribing formulas while suffering from collective amnesia about our past. Advertising constructs narratives that make forgetting seem virtuous. 3 recurring stories justify this willful blindness. The Enlightenment story claims everything before now was primitive, but we've finally cracked the code. Claude Hopkins declared advertising a science in 1923. Motivation researchers made identical claims in the 1950s. Today's champions of neuroscience and behavioral economics repeat the pattern, positioning themselves as the definitive breakthrough while dismissing predecessors as irrelevant. The Golden Age narrative flips the script. Advertising's finest work lies behind us. Over 70% of UK professionals believe the industry's peak has passed. This story lovingly catalogs canonical campaigns, DDB's 60s work, 80s Levi's ads, the Guinness Surfer, while lamenting how risk-averse clients prevent similar brilliance today. It demonstrates excellent taste while conveniently explaining away present mediocrity. The Year Zero narrative claims the world has fundamentally changed and old rules no longer apply. Yet human fundamentals remain constant. We still make emotional decisions, form brand relationships, and respond to persuasion much as we always have. Without historical grounding, we become slaves to contradictory principles we don't understand. Most revolutionary insights have appeared repeatedly throughout the past century, each time presented as unprecedented discovery. On a dramatic midnight in 1904, 23-year-old Albert Lasker received a mysterious note claiming to reveal what advertising is. The messenger, John E. Kennedy, declared advertising to be salesmanship in print, insisting effective ads must give consumers a reason why to buy. This encounter became advertising's founding myth, marking the shift from intuition to systematic technique using the AIDA formula: attention, interest, desire, action. Claude Hopkins' 1924 book, Scientific Advertising, sold 8 million copies, claiming advertising had reached the status of a science with fixed principles. Ads exist only to sell. Headlines should target prospects, use long factual copy, avoid humor, and use pictures only for information. Ironically, Hopkins' theatrical, world's largest cake promotion, contradicted these principles through pure spectacle. His rules derived from direct response advertising, a narrow slice he mistakenly applied universally. Rosa Reeves later introduced the unique selling proposition, asserting consumers remember just one thing from an advertisement. His invasive approach, hammering messages into heads rather than charming consumers, profoundly influences modern advertising, surviving in creative briefs centered on the single most important thing we want to say. Ernest Dichter arrived from Vienna in 1938 with a radical vision. His breakthrough came studying bathing rituals for ivory soap, discovering erotic undertones that led to "Be smart and get a fresh start with ivory soap." For Chrysler, he recognized convertibles as the mistress, symbolizing youth and freedom, attracting showroom visitors who ultimately bought sedans, the wife. Borrowing from Freud, Dichter argued people's true motivations remain unknown even to themselves. His revolutionary insight? Consumers are driven by obscure emotional forces, not rational evaluation, a stark contrast to Hopkins' rational model. Yet motivation research mysteriously vanished around 1960. Vance Packard's 1957 The Hidden Persuaders warned that advertising threatened democracy through techniques of mass persuasion through the subconscious. The death blow came from within when Rosser Reeves' 1961 book declared, "There are no hidden persuaders. Advertising works openly." Mentioning the unconscious became professionally taboo. With unconscious processes forbidden, advertising's discourse split. One side offered science, measurement, and control for business leaders. The other recognized rational models missed how advertising actually worked. With the science of the unconscious now taboo, this alternative could only claim authority through the artist. Bill Birnbach's creative revolution avoided subconscious language, asserting the magic is in the product. This created what Robert Heath called the benign conspiracy. Clients debated propositions feeling businesslike before passing briefs to creatives who produced intuitive work, achieving results for unrelated reasons. Rather than choosing between salesmanship and seduction, we need multiple perspectives to understand advertising's complexity. Like blind men encountering different parts of an elephant, advertising is misunderstood when viewed from just one angle. Advertising involves everything we know and don't know about human behavior, choice architecture, selective perception, conscious and unconscious motivation, social influence, memory formation, and how we collectively construct reality. Feldwick proposes six ways of thinking about advertising, like six sides of a cube. Salesmanship focuses on rational persuasion through logical arguments. Seduction uses imagery and storytelling to create emotional connections. Salience makes brands memorable through distinctive assets and repeated exposure. Social connection creates shared experiences, bonding consumers with brands. Spin shapes perceptions and narratives. Showbiz uses creativity and spectacle to break through clutter. These aren't rival theories, but complementary lenses. Most successful advertisements operate on multiple levels simultaneously. A humorous commercial might entertain, build salience, and deliver a persuasive message. Understanding these perspectives helps practitioners design more nuanced campaigns and explains why different stakeholders interpret the same advertisement differently. Advertising history reveals far more diversity than we typically allow. Despite celebrating creativity, we've narrowed our thinking to Reeves's USP theory and Birnbach's creative rhetoric, yet we have all human culture at our disposal. Each of the six thinking approaches offers exciting possibilities if we remain open rather than dogmatic. Our predecessors never felt constrained by their own theories. Hopkins created theatrical spectacles while preaching rational persuasion. Reeves hammered propositions while acknowledging execution mattered enormously. They were better practitioners than theorists. Media channels continue evolving, but today's changes follow historical patterns. Direct response grew with mass literacy, starch ratings with color magazines, Reeves's propositions with television. Today's internet-driven measurement continues this pattern. However, the various models, salesmanship, seduction, showmanship, exist independently of any medium. New technology adds choices, but within any medium, you can choose to be Birnbach, Bernays, or Barnum. Perhaps Barnum's humbug best captures advertising's essence, not deception, but creating attention while delivering genuine value. The Volvo commercial showing Jean-Claude Van Damme doing splits between two trucks exemplifies modern humbug. The anatomy of advertising isn't a single skeleton, but a complex organism with multiple systems working in harmony. Ogilvy combined factual persuasion with myth-making. Birnbach's Volkswagen ads married humor with honest product attributes. The future belongs to those who nimbly move between perspectives. Your next campaign doesn't need one right answer. It needs courage to work on multiple levels at once, speaking to head and heart, conscious and unconscious, individual and community. That's not confusion. That's mastery.